The white thread quivered with a pulsating pang. It strained quietly. The voices were ordinary, and many. It was a crowd speaking, a swirling mob that swept through and past and over him with a rapid, headlong motion that left drifting tatters of words behind them. "What did they get you for, boy? You look banged up." "Hot fire, I guess, but I got a case. I've made paradise, but old St. Pete." "Nah, I got a pull with a boy. Had dealings with him. Hey, Sam, come this way. Did you get a mouthpiece? Beelzebub says..." "Going on, my good imp. My appointment is with Sate." And above it all, the original stentorian roar that plunged across all. "Hurry, hurry, hurry! Stir your bones and don't keep us waiting. There are many more in line. Have your certificates ready and make sure Peter's release is stamped across it. See if you are at the proper entrance gate. There will be plenty of fire for all. Hey, you. You down there. Take your place in line or..." The white thread that was Powell groveled backward before the advancing shout and felt the sharp stab of the pointing finger. It all exploded into a rainbow of sound that dripped its fragments onto an aching brain. Powell was in the chair again. He felt himself shaking. Donovan's eyes were opening into two large, popping bowls of glazed blue. "Greg," he whispered in what was almost a sob, "were you dead?" "I felt dead." He did not recognize his own croak. Donovan was obviously making a bad failure of his attempt to stand up. "Are we alive now? Or is there more?" "I feel alive." It was the same hoarseness. Powell said cautiously, "Did you hear anything when you were dead?" Donovan paused and then very slowly nodded his head. "Did you?" "Yes." "Did you hear about coffins and females singing and the lines forming to get into hell? Did you?" Donovan shook his head. "Just one voice." "Loud?" "No. Soft, but rough, like a file over the fingertips. It was a sermon, you know, about hellfire. He described the tortures of... well, you know. I once heard a sermon like that. Almost." He was perspiring. They were conscious of sunlight through the port. It was weak, but it was blue-white, and the gleaming pea that was the distant source of light was not Old Sol. And Powell pointed a trembling finger at the single gauge. The needle stood stiff and proud at the hairline whose figure read 300,000 parsecs. Powell said, "Mike, if it's true, we must be out of the galaxy altogether." Donovan said, "Blazes! Greg, we'd be the first men out of the solar system." "Yes, that's just it. We've escaped the sun. We've escaped the galaxy. Mike, this ship is the answer. It means freedom for all humanity, freedom to spread through to every star that exists. Millions and billions and trillions of them." And then he came down with a hard thud. "But how do we get back, Mike?" Donovan smiled shakily. "Oh, that's all right. The ship brought us here. The ship will take us back. Me for more beans. But Mike, hold on, Mike. If it takes us back the way it brought us here..." Donovan stopped halfway up and sat back heavily into the chair. Powell went on, "We'll have to die again, Mike." "Well," sighed Donovan, "if we have to, we have to. At least it isn't permanent. Not very permanent." Susan Calvin was speaking slowly now. For 6 hours, she had been slowly prodding the brain. For six fruitless hours. She was weary of repetitions, weary of circumlocutions, weary of everything. Now, brain, there's just one more thing. You must make a special effort to answer simply. Have you been entirely clear about the interstellar jump? I mean, does it take them very far? As far as they want to go, Miss Susan. Golly, it isn't any trick through the warp. And on the other side, what will they see? Stars and stuff. What do you suppose? The next question slipped out. They'll be alive then. Sure. And the interstellar jump won't hurt them. She froze as the brain maintained silence. That was it. She had touched the sore spot. Brain, she supplicated faintly. Brain, do you hear me? The answer was weak, quivering. The brain said, Do I have to answer? About the jump, I mean? Not if you don't want to. But it would be interesting. I mean, if you wanted to. Susan Calvin tried to be bright about it. Aw, you spoil everything. And the psychologist jumped up suddenly with a look of flaming insight on her face. Oh my, she gasped. Oh my. And she felt the tension of hours and days released in a burst. It was later that she told Lanning, I tell you, it's all right. No, you must leave me alone now. The ship will be back safely, with the men, and I want to rest. I will rest. Now go away. The ship returned to Earth as silently, as unjarringly as it had left. It dropped precisely into place and the main lock gaped open. The two men who walked out felt their way carefully and scratched their rough and scrubbly stubbled chins. And then, slowly and purposefully, the one with red hair knelt down and planted upon the concrete of the runway a firm, loud kiss. They waved aside the crowd that was gathering and made gestures of denial at the eager couple that had piled out of the down-swooping ambulance with a stretcher between them. Gregory Powell said, Where's the nearest shower? They were led away. They were gathered, all of them, about a table. It was a full staff meeting of the brains of U.S. Robot and Mechanical Men Corporation.